Welcome to Minnesconsin.
Welcome to Wiscasota.
Whatever you call it, Minnesota and Wisconsin are neighbors in a unique corner of the upper Midwest. It's a place of winding rivers, deep blue lakes, endless trails.
And don't forget the cheese.
I'm Mark Niklosky, a lifelong Minnesota journalist from Duluth who's traveled the world and knows my home state is more than snow, cold, and losing football teams.
I'm Keith Uhlig. I live in Wausau, right in the center of the state, and I write for the newspaper here.
Join us as we explore all the beauty, culture, and adventure in the great states of Wisconsin and Minnesota.
If you live here, we'll take you beyond the farm fields and Twin Cities nightlife.
If you're visiting, we'll show you all the places that make our state special.
Join us on our adventures in Wiscasota.
You mean Minnesconsin.
No, Wiscasota.
Minnesconsin.
Wiscasota.
Minnesconsin.
Wiscasota.
All right, there they go, Earl and Jerry with the bartender polka. Welcome to Minnesconsin and Wiscasota. I'm Mark Niklosky up in Duluth.
I'm Keith Uhlig down in the southern climes of Wiscasota, Wausau, Wisconsin, Wiscasota, USA.
Strap on your safari hat, Keith, because today we're going to talk about wildlife in Minnesconsin and Wiscasota.
All right. Are we talking discos, Mark? Because I have some great wildlife disco stories
to
tell.
Discos raging in Marshfield.
Yes. The Marshfield Disco the Marshall, Wildlife.
No, we're going to talk about the four-legged kind and the winged kind and the jawed kind of wildlife that can bite your head off. You know, I think, Keith, a lot of people might think some of our listeners from across the pond or down in the southern states might think Wiscasota is still full of rhinos and hippos and buffalo.
Right, and... what's the Rhinelander Hodags and Bigfoots?
Right.
And
a Bigfoot, right. Yeah. Right. Well, that's another show, the Bigfoot show. Now, we're just going to talk about the basic wildlife that we see here in Minnesota and Wiscasota. And, you know, it's just a fertile area for all kinds of wildlife, and you know, the woodlands and the lakes and rivers and everything are still very natural and wild up here, so it breeds a lot of good sightseeing and wildlife viewing.
And Keith.
I guess you had an experience just recently.
This was last weekend. A few days ago, we're in the middle of June, and I was up in Tomahawk, Wisconsin, which is right on your narrow geographic area of Wiscasota, and I was watching some friends' children splash around in the lake doing some wild swimming, jumping off of a swimming platform, when I noticed a bird circling above the lake. And this is Lake Muskellonge, just north of Tomahawk. And I thought it was an eagle, but it just didn't look quite right for an eagle, although I did see a flash of white. And I pointed it out to my friend Dave, and he thought it was an eagle as well.
Did you get the children out of the water?
No.
Kids, get out of the water!
Kids can handle eagles. You know, it would have been pretty cool if it would have grabbed like the youngest one, Jonah. That would have been funny. This was a ways away, like maybe a quarter of a mile, maybe not quite that far. But then all of a sudden, it was a circling like an eagle tends to do. But then it immediately kind of went into this head first dive like a Stuka dive bomber. Whoa. And splashed into the water. I think it pulled up at the very last second and then splashed into the water. And I don't think it came up with anything. You know, it was obviously hunting. And then it did it again. And then the next day we were on Lake Mohocson, which is right on the Tomahawk, and we were on a what kind of boat is that? The kind of boat with
a pontoon boat.
Yes, we were on a pontoon boat, and I saw the same sort of thing again. we thought it might be an eagle, but then this time it just careened down. I mean, just amazingly fast, a blur, and splashed into the water. You could almost hear it, even though it was, again, like a quarter of a mile away. And I went to my handy dandy DNR website, and I've determined it was a peregrine falcon,
Ooh.
fastest animal on the planet,
Wow.
in the
Faster than a
dive,
cheetah?
faster than a cheetah. A cheetah is a land
Yeah.
animal. It can go up to speeds to 60 miles an hour using its own power. A peregrine falcon would think that's snail. Think that's a snail pace. According to one website that I saw, a peregrine falcon in, I think, Britain was clocked at 242 miles per hour in its dive,
Whoa.
typically around 200 miles an hour. I've decided, Mark, if indeed we are reincarnated, and if I live a good life and I get to choose what animal I want to be in my next life, I'm going to be a peregrine falcon. It was an awesome experience to see this thing go.
They're very rare birds, I know that.
Yeah, I think they are making a comeback. I do know, like, our power plant here
Yeah.
in the Wausau area has nesting sites with peregrine falcons with young eggs and et cetera, et cetera. So it's pretty, I think they may be making a comeback. One of those rare environmental happy stories rather than a sad story. But eagles, eagles usually people make such a big to-do about eagles, but they are becoming very common around here. A couple weeks ago, I was on a run, and I was I often see a person also, like, crossing paths with me. I see him quite often. He goes, "Hey, as you look up to the right when you run by the bridge by the healthcare center," he goes, "there's an eagle right in the tree." And sure enough, we found it, and it was like, oh, I don't know, 20 yards away. No, couldn't have even been that. Maybe 10 yards away. And it was sitting there with its sort of wings. How do I describe this? Sort of hanging like a scarecrow with its outer portions of its wings
Kind of extended wings?
pointing down, right? Only the lower portion. Like, if you stood up and just put your like upper arms and then made those vertical, but your wrist area horizontal. No, other way around. Your upper arms horizontal, your wrists and whatever that part of your arm is.
Forearm?
Forearm.
Keith, you'll never be a doctor.
I'm never going to be a doctor, and I think I'm falling into dementia here because my words are not coming. But the forearm would be vertical, you know? So
Yeah.
if you did that, like a scarecrow, kind
Yeah.
of hang your hands hanging down,
Yeah.
that's what this eagle was doing, and it was immense.
Huh.
And I think
I don't
maybe
think
this
I've
was
ever
a
seen that.
no, I had never seen that either. And I think it was actually like trying to dry out. It just had rained,
Oh.
and the sun was coming out,
Yeah.
and it just looked like it was sort of like shaking water off and drying out, or else maybe it was sick.
Boy, a
I
couple of
don't know.
great bird sightings there, Keith. And you're
Yeah.
not a birder.
No, birds are creepy, man. You look in their eyes, they hate us. You can see the hate in them.
Oh,
So,
I don't think a loon hates you.
yeah, you're right. You're right. Maybe the loons don't hate us. That's true. Loons are very friendly birds. There are some that are friendly, and then some that just like look like they will attack and would do nothing short to get you off of this planet.
Yeah, those deadly chickadees.
Yeah, no, chickadees are nice. Chickadees are nice birds, but I'm thinking of Canada geese. Holy
Oh, well, they're
Moses.
nasty, of course.
Holy
You know, there's
Moses.
always going to be some bad apples in any species.
Yes, and herons. I think herons look like they really do not like And they got those long shark beaks. I think they would like to like stab you in your heart when they look at you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're definitely stay away from them guys. That's for
I
sure.
I do. I give them a wide berth.
Well, I'll tell you what you got to stay away from in Minnesota and Wisconsin. Bears.
Bears?
That's right.
They're cuddly, Mark.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I tell you, they can be a little dangerous, though, especially when they're with, when Mama is with the Cubs.
Yes. And, I would not, I mean, I don't believe that there's ever been, like, a fatality, at least in any of my memory, but I still, you do not want to deal with a bear claw across your chest.
No.
For sure.
No, and so that brings me to my wildlife encounter. For this summer, Jen and I were out on a bike ride in Burnett County and near Grantsburg, and from the cabin, it's about a 7-mile ride into downtown Grantsburg. And on the way there, probably a couple miles in the ride, we're going along, and there was a cornfield that was had been harvested in the fall and not replanted. So, so there was stalks and things in the cornfield.
Really?
And as we were biking by, we noticed three large black objects, four large black objects out in the middle of the field. Uh-huh. And they were bears. It was Mama and three cubs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so Jen immediately started to panic. And
yes.
Fortunately, as we were driving along, a pickup truck came by and kind of buffered us between between us and the bears. And I think it also scared the bears because then they got up and they started running.
Oh, yeah.
In the opposite direction, fortunately.
Yeah.
And,
how far away were they?
Oh, maybe 30 yards, 40 yards.
Oh, you could have outrun them.
I think we could have. But they're very fast, too, Keith. Bears,
they are.
Bears are very fast. But you know what? It's really neat to see a bear run.
Yeah.
It's the first time I think I've really seen one just kind of in a full gallop going across the cornfield. You get a really clear look at them. Usually, if you see them, they're in the woods, and maybe they dart away, and you don't really get to see them.
That's what I've seen.
Yeah. No, he was in a cornfield, and she was running in full gallop, and the little three cubs were following behind just as fast. It was quite a sight to see.
So here's a thing that I've just learned, Mark. Why does this excite us? Why did I get so thrilled by the peregrine, and why did you, light up when you saw these bears and sort of afraid thing.
Yeah.
And so I did a story of, months ago, back in the winter time, about a University of Wisconsin professor who loves snakes. And he has become like a leading expert in finding new snake species.
And this are something you should not enjoy.
I don't like them.
Like,
I don't like them.
Unlike birds.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of snakes either. Even though, it's like every animal that I'm afraid of is the one that I see the most of. It seems like, but this is fine. It's fine with me. I realize my fear of snakes, by the way, this professor said, is justified because it is evolutionary. Snakes can kill people. They are poisonous, and it's better to just stay away from them and leave them alone.
My sister hates snakes.
Yeah, I am petrified of them. I see them, and I jump, and ooh.
She'll run
the
other
way. But anyway, he told me about biophilia. Have you ever heard of this, Mark?
Never heard the word before.
Yeah, so it was been, according to... So I had to look it up. Well, first this professor explained it to me, and then, of course, I had to look it up. But according to the Wikipedia, my favorite, Edward O. Wilson introduced popularized this hypothesis, biophilia hypothesis. And Edward O. Wilson is like a Harvard naturalist.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's written books about ants and other things along those lines.
Other creepy things.
Yeah, he's really cool. Ants aren't creepy. Ants are kind of cool. But he defines biophilia, and this is a quote from the Wikipedia page, as the urge to affiliate with other forms of life.
Oh.
So we just want to understand the animals that we share the planet with. This includes trees and plants, too. And the idea behind this hypothesis is that, you know, we're all sort of interdependent. We're all part of one whole in this thing, you know, in this thing called life. And mm-hmm. we all, even if we're afraid of things, which I am, or we love them, which I love puppies, that sort of is part of our just very nature of what it's like to be human. I kind of like that. Yeah. So this is not something, you know, looking at animals is not something that is unique to Wiscasota, but I think Wiscasota is a great place to sort of tweak and encourage your own biophilia.
Sure, you're so close to it, you know.
Yeah.
Here in the North Woods in Minnesconsin, you know, it's easy to get out and see animals, whereas, you know, if you're out in Nebraska or something like that, it's all cornfields, you know, or if you're in Colorado, it's hard to get into the backcountry, you know, to see
yeah.
the animals there sometimes because it's just so rugged.
Yep.
You know, and of course, out on the East Coast, it's all cities out there, you're not going to see yep. anything. So, you know, this is really a good spot.
Even New York, though, I won't slag on the East Coast, but like New York is known for its bird watching.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's spots.
Know, yeah.
You just have to work a little harder.
Yep, yep. And I think you have to be more intent. I think if you live in Wiscasota, you're just naturally going to run across animals.
A deer is going to walk into your front yard.
Yep, yep. I remember when we first got our iPhones at the office and for the Wausau Daily Herald, and I was enamored with it, and I was walking out into the alley. This is downtown Wausau. It was late at night. It was dark. It was like 9:30 at night, and the newspaper carriers were starting to collect and pick up newspapers, I think, for the next morning, or maybe they were doing inserts, but there were a bunch of them, and they were like a handful, I won't say a bunch, a handful of them, and they were sitting on a rock wall near our office. And I come blundering out of the office, and I'm looking down at my phone, and I hear this, you know, kind of, it's like off in the distance, and I didn't quite react, and the guy says, "Hey, you." And I just, I didn't realize he was talking to me, and he goes, "Hey, you with a phone," you know, and you kind of look, and he goes, "There's a bear right there." And I turn to my right, and across the alleyway is a bear. And it went up another alley. There's a alley that tees into our alley, and then it was gone, just like that. And, I go, boy, you know, I almost think, boy, did I really see that?
Yeah, right in downtown Wausau.
Yeah, but I did. I'm quite sure. Just like I can't be quite sure it was a peregrine falcon, but in all my stories from now on, it is a peregrine falcon. I don't know of any other bird that dives like that.
Yeah, that sounds like the giveaway, you know, behavioral thing.
Yeah.
Power diving like that.
Yeah,
it's got to be a peregrine, you know. I mean, birds do that. Other birds do that, but not to that velocity.
And you know what? You know what was the most irritating about the whole experience is I go, "Dave, that I think that's a peregrine falcon," and he goes, "Are you? I think it might be an eagle." And I go, "No. This is something exciting." He goes, "Eh." And I go, "What is wrong with Dave?"
I don't know what's wrong with Dave.
Yeah. And the kids were completely clueless. But I was like so enraptured, I didn't even like say, "Hey, kids, look at this." They did see on the second day, though, they saw that thing go into the water. The whole boat did. So
yeah.
There's like six kids and four adults.
They all
three
witnessed
adults.
The hunting of a peregrine. That's pretty cool. Keith, I didn't finish my bear story either.
What?
No.
You said it ran away. So they ran away.
Well, uh-huh. So then Jen and I continued on our bike ride into Grantsburg. and we had lunch at the Brickfield Brewery, which is an amazingly great brewery in downtown Grantsburg, right in Wiscasota, Minnesota. And had lunch and then did another 5 miles back. We got to that field again. The Bears were still there.
Wow.
So they were...
They came back?
They must have, yeah. They must have, like, went and hid in the woods, and then when it was all clear, they went back out there, and there must have been a lot of good corn out there or something still.
They eat corn, I bet, don't you think? Or
I think bears eat anything. You know, they'll eat you.
Yes, I guess they would, yeah. But let's see. Do bears eat corn?
Sure, you know, they eat honey and... Yogi Bear.
Yeah, honey. Winnie the Pooh.
Picnic baskets.
Yes.
So they'll eat anything. Yeah, and that's probably that bear in downtown Wausau was probably going through the garbage at the Mint Cafe looking for all the food they had to throw out at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, okay, here's a quote. This is from Korn. Bear damage from a drone's point of view by AgFax. AGFAX.com. And the quote is, unlike raccoons, which take a bite out of a cob and move on to the next one, bears will eat every kernel.
Yeah, sure they will, yeah.
The black bear has been creating havoc in cornfields for as long as the crop has been grown in the U.S. Reports date back to early European settlements. Mm-hmm. Wow!
Oh, yeah, they're good scroungers. They'll eat anything, you know, they're... You know, they attack bird feeders, of course. They love those. And
yes.
They'll climb up and get a bird feeder any day just to get a little bit of bird seed, you know?
I guess.
Yeah. So it's...
You just wouldn't think that they would like corn. It does not seem like a bear food.
It's just fascinating to see, you know? And like you said, it goes to your biophilia. You just got to go and, you know, see that and relate to it, you know?
It excites us. It makes us feel... I don't know, alive, you know.
Right, and maybe we're happy that we're not the bear sitting out in the middle of a empty cornfield scrounging through through corn stalks looking for a kernel here and there, but they seem to enjoy it.
I'm sure they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Wow, wow.
All right, Keith. Well, I think, that's a good wildlife episode there. I think, you know, a lot of good... Bears and birds.
Bears and birds. We didn't even talk about the deer, which we see all the time.
They're so common, you know. Yep. That's it. And like you said, you just see them walking down the street here in Duluth.
Yep. Here in Wausau too. We've kind of made friends with these couple of young deer that just they seem to hang out along the steep banks above the Wisconsin River and. And Henry always wants to go make friends with them, but they watch pretty close. They don't. They let us get pretty close, and Henry just likes to look at them.
Yeah.
But then they run off. It's amazing how they can run.
Oh, the hopping and running. Yeah.
Yeah, and then down this steep slope, and then they are gone.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Fun to see. Yeah. Yeah. They're very common. I remember my grandpa. He could spot a deer driving.
Yep.
You know, miles away, you'd see a deer. And
You have to watch out for them. Oh, you have
to. That's a thing in Minnesota and Wisconsin is deer hits. You don't want to run into a deer.
Yep.
And folks, so if you're coming and visiting, you know, make sure you keep your eyes open in the ditches for those deer. They like to run out right in front of you at the last minute.
Right. Dart. One of the friends that I visited where they were... So Kyle is from Minnesota, Iowa area, and his wife is named Michelle. She's from California, and they live in California now, and they were visiting because Kyle really likes the Midwest and the lake kind of life, and that was the first thing Michelle noticed that when they drove into Wisconsin was the number of deer on the side of the roads.
Dead deer.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that'll happen. Well, that's a way to keep them down, I guess, the herd down.
I guess so,
yeah. And it keeps the body shops going.
Yep. And it's a good argument to, you know, hunt.
Sure.
I don't particularly want to hunt, but I support hunting.
Yes, same here. Yeah, you got to keep the herds down, and it's not healthy for them to be, running out of food in the forest.
Yeah.
Maybe the bears will show them some good food or something.
Yes.
Or the peregrine falcons.
The peregrine falcon looked like it could take almost anything.
Yeah.
But it looked, Yeah, I wonder. I bet that would crack your skull open if a peregrine falcon hit you on the top of the head.
200 miles an hour. At least a concussion.
Definitely. Maybe wear a helmet when you go out on the lakes with peregrine falcons.
Keith, I'm going to step into the essay booth here.
Good.
We'll be back for another episode soon. So let me just look over here in the essay booth. Keith, I'll see you later.
Okay. Bye, Mark.
Thanks, Keith. This essay is called The Northwest Sands. Interstate highways aren't something that were invented by engineers huffing internal combustion fumes during the Eisenhower administration. The idea of moving people and commerce by the easiest, most barrier-free route goes back multiple centuries. Today, in Minnesota and Wisconsin, I-35 and Highway 61 are the major north-south transportation corridors. Before the freeway, we had the railroad. Trains cut our region in half from Iowa to Lake Superior along the Mississippi and its northern tributaries. Going back even further, early settlers used steamboats and ox carts, following waterways and trails to pioneer this region. But what routes did people take before the invention of covered wagons and steam power? Where were the interstate foot trails used by Native Americans? It's surprising. A group out of Gordon, Wisconsin, is working to establish the Northwest Sands Auto Trail, a route that covers the historic Native American travel route through Minnesota and Wisconsin. It's not a simple north-south route like I-35 and pays little attention to major riverways. It turns out, when indigenous peoples wanted to get from the Mississippi River to Lake Superior, they skipped Duluth at the head of the lake and went right to today's Bayfield. So much of our travel today is dictated by early European settlers and industrial routes set up by railroad barons. But back in the 14th or 15th or 16th century, natives to this land cared little about floating lumber downstream or hauling grain to Buffalo. If they wanted to get somewhere, they took the easiest route. In Minnesota and Wisconsin, that meant walking through the Northwest Sands, a 180-mile Native American superhighway that ran from present-day North Branch, Minnesota, to the Apostle Islands on the northern tip of Wisconsin. The Northwest Sands, also known as the Barrens, are a soft, easy terrain dotted with lakes and ponds, and centuries ago were lightly forested. The area was plentiful in fish and wildlife and posed just one major barrier, the St. Croix River. This Barrens area exists today. Although fire suppression, climate change, and logging demands have increased the forest, it's still easy to follow the historic route. The Northwest Sands Auto Trail passes through places like Crex Meadows near Grantsburg, Dogtown Lake, 5 Mile Barrens State Natural Area, a stand of old-growth savanna red pine near Gordon, the Continental Divide, the Barksdale Ponds State Natural Area, and, of course, the beautiful Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. People love trails. They have for a long, long time. Hikers from all over the world traverse the Ice Age Trail, which cuts through Wiscasota east to west. Popular bike trails roll through the Chippewa River Valley near Eau Claire and along the Mississippi River in La Crosse. ATV trail riding has to be the fastest growing outdoor activity in the Midwest. We here at the Minnesota and Wiscasota podcast applaud the Northwest Sands Auto Trail development and can't wait to explore it for our listeners soon.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Wiscasota podcast with your hosts Mark Niklowski and Keith Ulig. Got a question for Mark or Keith? You can email them at mnwipodcast@gmail.com. That's mnwipodcast@gmail.com. or you can share your thoughts on the Minnesconsin Wiscasota Facebook page.